Why do you suppose we chose this year's theme for camp? The theme that's up here, insight today, leadership tomorrow. Is it not primarily because we realize that all of you, among many other young people throughout the world, you are the future of the United Church of God? And if you learn to have insight today, we know that you will provide the necessary leadership for tomorrow. So this is a very good theme. It really fits well into this camp. And I think we need to ask ourselves, what is insight? I will define it as having a clear vision or understanding into the challenges that face us each day. I believe that's insight. Having a clear vision or a clear understanding as to the challenges that face us each day, how to best approach a challenge. That is insight. So how long will you have to wait for insight? What does it say? Insight today. So you don't have to wait for insight. You already have some insight. I'm sure you can learn more each day as time goes on. But we do have insight. How long we have to wait How long we have to wait for leadership? If you have insight, it says insight today and leadership tomorrow. That's not very long, is it? But if you had insight yesterday, then that means you should have leadership when? Right, today. So frankly, we should have insight and leadership every day of our lives. And we should ask ourselves, where does insight come from? How do we obtain or possess insight? As I said, insight is having a clear vision or clear understanding into the challenges that face us each day. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 1 and let's talk about where does insight come from? And how can you have insight? Daniel chapter 1. I'm sure all of you are familiar with Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You might remember that they were Jews. They were actually slaves in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar had said in verse 3, he instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs. I'm in Daniel chapter 1. He instructed them to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So these were among the best and the brightest of the royal family. And King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to instruct them in his government. He wanted them to have positions in his government. He understood that if he gave even these slaves some opportunities and responsibilities, that they would be more loyal to him, would not rise up against him. So that was one of the main reasons why he was looking for men, young men like this. Now in verse 8 it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. So they had a special program for all the young men, but Daniel realized that there were undoubtedly unclean foods there. There were probably other things, that rich foods that really wouldn't be the best for them. So it says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He wanted to do what was right. And he wanted to stand up even against the king and do what was right. And it says in verse 9 that God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chiefs of the eunuchs. So God was with Daniel, and Daniel realized that. He understood that. Notice in verse 17 where insight comes from. Verse 17, as for these four young men, that's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So it was God who was giving them understanding. It was God who was giving them wisdom. And it was God who was helping them to understand and to know things. Now, they had to apply themselves as well. They had to work hard in studying. They had to apply themselves. But it was God who was giving them insight. And frankly, they knew that. They understood where the insight was coming from. And that was really the key to their strength. And that will be the key to your strength. If you understand where insight truly comes from, and if you trust in God and look to Him for insight, He will certainly give it to you. In verse 19 it says, "Then the king interviewed these men." And by the way, we all realize that because Daniel didn't eat the king's delicacies, and because the other three with him didn't, they were actually healthier and in much better shape than all the rest. Also, the king interviewed them in verse 19, and among them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were their actual names, their Hebrew names. Therefore, they served before the king. So they were given opportunity to serve directly in the king's court. Verse 20, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers." And they were the leaders. They were the ones that the king would look to for advice and so forth. And these four young men were 10 times better than all of them, than all of those in his realm. And it was only because God was the one that was giving them insight. Now in Daniel chapter 3, and I know you're familiar with this story as well, the story of the fiery furnace, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down and worship the image that had been set up. They refused to worship that image. Look at verse 15 of Daniel chapter 3. Verse 15 of Daniel 3. "Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and so forth, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image," this was King Nebuchadnezzar. He was telling them he was going to give them another chance to bow down and worship the image, because he had heard that they wouldn't do this, and he was furious. But he knew that they were such fine young men that he was going to give them another chance to bow down and worship the image. So he says, if you don't do this, the last part of verse 15, "But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" So that was the question that he put to them. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace.'" They had faith in God. They knew that God had all power. They knew that He certainly could deliver them. And notice what they say, "And He will deliver us from your hand, O king." So they had faith that God would deliver, that He had the power to deliver and that He would deliver. But notice also, they knew that God's will was perfect. And if God had something else in mind, they were prepared to do whatever God wanted them to do regardless. So they say in verse 18, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up." So basically they were saying that if He chooses not to intervene, we're still not going to worship this image. We're going to be burnt in this fiery furnace. They were willing to die. They were willing to step out in faith. They had tremendous courage because God gave them insight. God helped them realize that as long as they did what was right, everything would work out well for them. Even if they died, everything would be okay. That's the kind of insight that we all need to have. We need to have the insight, realizing that God's there for us at all times. Notice verse 28, and this is, of course, after God intervened directly and saved them from the fiery furnace, because they were thrown in. In fact, the people that threw them in, it says they were burned up immediately. because for one thing, they heated it 7 times hotter than normal, and the men that threw them in were immediately toast. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were alive because the one who became Christ was actually there with them, protecting them and being with them at the time. So in verse 28, after seeing that they were not singed, not even a hair on their head was singed, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And remember, he had asked, "Who is this God who will deliver you?" And then he says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel," or actually the one that became Christ, "who his messenger, and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." So Nebuchadnezzar became a stronger believer in the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the God of Daniel. And that's the kind of example that we need to set. They were just young men. They weren't very old. And by the way, when you stop and think about it, the leadership that's here at camp today, these men and women were once quite young when God first began working with them. I was talking to Mr. Clark earlier, and he was like 12 years old, 14, 15 years old, when God started opening his mind to his truth and he started to respond. Mr. Sargent was also around the same age, 15, 16 years old. Mrs. Sargent was around 18. Mr. Blackwell, I think he said he was like 7 or 8 years old when God first started working with them. And just about all of us, I was 18. And my wife was about 10 years old. And God gave us insight. And because of that, we've been able to lead. And God's been able to use us to influence many people's lives. A lot of us are ministers or deacons or just good servants in the local congregations. Many of the young people that serve in rock climbing and canoeing, they have insight, and so they're able to lead. And if you'll have insight, which really boils down to having faith and courage, because that's really the most important aspects of insight. Having faith and courage and knowing that God is the one that will deliver. Because there is no other God who can deliver like the God who's calling you. Of course, there is only one true God, and everything else is a lie. And it's important for us to understand that. In 1 Samuel 17, I don't know, do we have more time? We're just about done here. I don't really have time to go to the next example. I was going to go to King David and the example that against David and Goliath, and how David stood up against a giant because he had faith and he had courage. David was just a young, ruddy young man, it says, probably a teenager. And he took a sling and a stone, took 5 stones, and he killed a giant. And that's because he had faith in God. He believed in God. He trusted God. And God gave him the insight, which gave him leadership. So you don't have to wait. You can have insight today. You can also have leadership today because you had some insight yesterday. And every day we're learning. God's given us more insight, and God's opening opportunities for us to lead. So I would encourage all of you to think about that. What is true insight? It's really believing in God and having faith in Him and putting your trust in Him and realizing that if you do the right thing, you know, if people around you, even at camp, are talking about things that they really shouldn't be talking about, and they're talking about bad things in a positive way, if you'll stand up and do the right thing and just say, you know, just humbly say, I really don't think that's the way we're supposed to live, they will learn to respect you more than if you just sit there and say nothing. And you don't have to be self-righteous or haughty about it, but just humbly try to point people in the right direction. That's real insight. And that's the kind of insight that we need to share with each other. And if we do, then God will allow us opportunities to lead in the future. So I would encourage you, insight today, leadership tomorrow.